a horn of our own.
Toot that horn, bro. I don't even know what you're about to toot of our own horn, but I feel like that's a rusty horn and it could be tooted.
Well, I did a dumb thing that I want to get to in a moment, but suffice to say, I've been listening to the Kush Cab.
Okay.
The first season of Kushiel's, or I guess Kushiel's Start. It's kind of funny. Dude, we're kind of funny.
I laughed my way through it. And I would be like getting groceries and laughing at us. And I'm like, am I like just an ego gone wild? Is this like, am I allowed to laugh at this shit? Because it's kind of fucking funny.
I know. We're listening not for just like narcissism, like fueling that narcissist
research
tank.
Purposes, having to go through this again.
Which leads me to the dum-dum I did, which is, because I have been listening to this, because I'm just sort of in that zone, I totally forgot that this was an episode. And I thought we were sitting down to do, what is it, Kushiel's Chosen?
Yes, Kushiel's Chosen. I know, because I'm living in that same, my heart is literally racing right now just because you brought it up. I am so ready. Dude, I could seriously rupture at the seams at any moment. I wouldn't be shocked if it happened. You're just going to see me turn into juice and it'll be all over.
Oh, yeah. Gross.
Yeah.
I set a fucking mood, dude. I was ready. I put on this delicious Charlie's blend that I got sent.
Awesome.
In Yule, I think it was the Yule gift etchant, and it's cinnamon, and, you know. Anyway, I put that on, and I lit an incense and everything, and I sat down, and I was like, we're gonna do this. And I was like, oh, wait, this isn't that.
I gotta switch to
education mode.
I feel the same, because I was just doing notes for that up until the buzzer for us to start recording this, because I've been in New Mexico, so I did not really get to work on any of this shit, but I've already read through the book once, and I read the book and then gave myself a full week to just stew on the book, and I have so much in me, and this is Jacqueline Carey's book, Kushiel's Chosen, by the way, second book to Kushiel's
Year of Context.
Year of Context. Read these books. They're the best fucking books. And so I've lived this epic. This is a fucking epic. Okay. I've read it. I became it. I've watched it in my eyeballs and have sat on it. And I just, brother, I can't wait to tell it to you. I am so excited to talk about this. I am ready. I'm so fucking ready for it. It's all I can think about. I gotta stop.
Well, listen, it starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if you want to join us on the journey, check it out over on patreon.com. That all the simp cap, all the wimp caps, everyone we've done in the past and everyone we do in the future. Well, I won't say that. We may change how we do things, but we don't plan on it right now. How's that?
We don't plan on it.
All starts at the $5 level. $5 a month, it's a whole extra podcast.
Every week. Rated.
And what?
Every week. And by the way, these are thick boys. Like the Kushiel's Start.
Oh, 2-3 hours.
Are 3 hours minimum.
Oh, those?
Those are three
like
hours
four.
Minimum.
Yeah.
One was four.
A lot of content.
One, the big one. Whew, that one was four. And so, yeah, it's a whole bunch of shit over there. Dude, we've got randos. We've got the Road to El Dorado over there. We've got Anastasia. Over there. Anyway.
I forget we did the Road to El Dorado.
We did the Road to El Dorado, bro. And so anyway, that's just like that. Quick little self-plug. But anyway, yeah, that's starting
Invader
tomorrow.
Zim, Invader which popped Zim. Off.
I was glad to see the Invader Zim love. That was very, very pleasing to me. Big happy for that. Oh, okay.
But that is not.
Witch Bitch Amateur Hour world today, right now.
Yes.
That's where we are.
Yes.
I must
this
recall.
This is the war. Yes. And I have news for you.
Yeah.
And when I say news, I just, I'm stretching out my sentence structure because I'm looking at who goes first.
Oh, okay.
Today.
Good. Yeah. You totally can't tell that you're stalling completely. in this. I actually don't remember. Did we do a real episode last week, or was last week the silly-sode?
We did a spring silly-sode last week.
Okay.
Why does it sort of feel to me like we just up and missed a week? Does it feel like that to you? It feels like it's been a long time.
I feel like it does. Like, we say this every single time we do like a one-off that's not like our standard programming, but it does. It takes only one week of changing to feel like your whole world has been delayed. Now, yes, it does feel like forever.
Do you remember when we used to call the silly-sode the shitpost-sode?
Did we? We probably did. Yeah, I guess we shitpost-sode.
I think we did like two shitpost-sodes or something.
We have such a disorganized naming system in our catalog. It's so bad. I don't even know if our episode counts.
It's what makes us charming.
Charming. Amateur. Forever amateur. We can't get better. We wrote it in the name. Forever amateurs. Yeah.
We manifested it before we even really knew.
Yeah. We just kneecapped ourselves. How to do that. From the start.
Yeah.
With our name.
Really, really hindered.
The power in naming. Yeah. We did not know.
Okay. So it looks as if I go first this time. Okay. What are we talking about? I'll tell you what I'm talking about because I brought it up. God damn it. I'm talking about Cinnabar.
Cinnabar. I thought you were going to say Cinnabon, yeah. And I was really settling into my chair, getting ready to talk about that. Cinnabar.
Bro.
I don't know what that is.
I could fuck up. Listen, you know what my favorite cinnamon roll type product is? What? It's the orange.
Yeah, me too.
It's the orange cinnamon
roll. And you know, the orange cinnamon roll is a very polarizing topic. There is, you either love or hate. The orange cinnamon roll, which I don't understand that.
You know, they got a strawberry one now?
That might be too sweet.
You know, they got
That might be too sweet. The orange has a bit of that.
It's got a little orange.
Spice isn't the right word, but it's got that zest, you know, it's kind of got that bite to it. And I feel like the strawberry would just be like icing, like pure icing, you know?
You know what I feel that way about for sure is the chocolate ones. Yeah. And as I get older, bro, I was a chocolate on chocolate on chocolate gal, but as I get older, I find myself like being like, that's a little one note.
You're such an expanded palate in your 30s, growing your icing flavors. I get it though. I a big thing in Arkansas is chocolate gravy. They love their chocolate gravy up in Arkansas, and yes, wasn't for me. You know, I don't, really? Yeah, it just wasn't for me. So sometimes I get it on a breakfast, a chocolate sauce, for some reason, that's not what I'm into. That's not what I'm into. I don't want a chocolate sauce. That's not to say I won't go for a sweet sauce, but chocolate.
Are you a sweet breakfast person?
Generally, no. That's part of the problem. That's part of the issue. Okay. However, that isn't to say that I won't throw down with a sweet breakfast when I want one. Because when I want one, like I got some French toast at Cracker Barrel the other day, and it ripped. It was it the
specialty one they have?
The French toast bake, brother. Yeah, that's what I got, man. And it was great. And so sometimes I'll do it. I'll throw it down. But it's gotta be something magical like that to pull me. Me in.
Dude, I went to Cracker Barrel recently too. Oh, God. Be some flapjacks. Cinnabar. What are you
Cinnabar,
talking about?
I don't know what that is. You're going to have to tell me. I'm excited about that. I'm talking about a crystal, a rock, bronzite. You ever heard of bronzite?
No.
I'm glad.
It sounds like I want to crush it up and put it on my face.
Funny you say that. Kind of. And I'm glad that you have it because I just realized right now that I did not check this one. Usually anytime that I check it, I'll check it against our catalog.
I'm pretty sure.
We have it. But like, I'm glad. This is like, I realized that part of me never checked.
Nah, we haven't.
But yeah.
I have been diligent more now than ever.
Since you got burned.
Since I got burned. Yeah. It happened. But before we do anything, we have the most important meal of the day, serving it up Gary's way. But we have the most important part of the podcast. What keeps this going is you, our patrons. To our Patreon shout outs, go the spoils. Today's episode is brought to you by this name. I'm going to try to NBD Weeb.
NBD Weeb?
NBD Weeb.
Okay. Okay. Four syllables. Alrighty. Why can I never remember this? What is wrong with me? Why can't I remember that we do this segment every single week? And why can't I remember
it has only
to prepare?
Been like 6 years.
I'm serious. Like, what? Do you just have absolute black hole spots in your memory? Like, this is something my brain 100%. Cannot process. And it's amazing mm-hmm. to me because I've had so many chances. Oh, okay.
No, absolutely.
Okay.
But I'm hoping that everybody just notices the green ring around my neck from this cheap chain versus you taking a long time. So everybody just look at that.
I like it.
You see that shit?
I do see that. I do see
it. It doesn't look like that in person, but it's picking up on the camera.
I like it.
Gross.
Yeah, no, I see what's going on.
It happens.
Yeah. I'm relatable. Just like in your necklace.
It's malachite. So maybe it's just the poison from the malachite is just
soaking into your pores.
Yeah.
Oh, God, dude. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Okay, here's what I'm going to do.
NBD weeb.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go to this list. Okay. Okay. That's not what I expected. But this will work. Okay. Give me a second. NBD weeb. Yeah.
NBD. No big deal, weeb.
525,000 NBD weave. Wow. Dude, that's not the song I expected to get when I went to the songs that would annoy Edward Cullen playlist.
It worked, though. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Songs that would annoy Edward Cullen, please. Yeah. Rocks. Hit slaps every time.
It does.
Good. All right.
All right.
Yeah.
I feel better.
Great. All right. I'm going to go first. I'm going to talk to you about cinnabar, which is also a rock, a stone, a crystal. It is. What was that move?
Tell me. I like a rock, a stone, a crystal. It was fun. I like it. Yeah, it was a fun delivery.
A rock, a stone, a crystal. It is a rock. It's a beautiful red rock.
Okay.
This rock can be. You know when you have a paper due at school and it's like it has to be a certain amount of words?
A million words. Yeah, you got padded out.
Oh. Ooh, so henceforth to win. Okay, so it's a red rock. It's a red rock. It's a red rock. It's everywhere from this brilliant scarlet color to kind of a muddy, kind of brick-like red. But it is a form of mercury sulfide.
If you crunch it up and snort it, will it give you Mad Hatter's disease?
What is that?
Isn't that the thing? Didn't hat makers used to get mercury poisoning a lot? I feel like there was something about hat makers getting, and that was why they would say Mad as a Hatter.
You're probably correct. And I just don't know that lore.
I just wonder if you're full of mercury. Is it full of mercury? If you breathe it in, will it make you mercury sick? Whatever, that mercury poisoning?
It'll give you the probably mercury kill you.
Elf shot? Yeah.
It'll probably drop you dead. Okay. Well, actually, I have a little bit on that later. So this stone, this rock, this... When I say this rock, this stone, this crystal, is found, it formulates, it is mined in hot-ass places.
Okay.
Volcanic activity can sometimes create cinnabar. Very, very hot springs, alkaline.
I'm going to look it up.
Hot springs can... produce this, and as well as most locations that produce mercury, or locations that yield things that we can extract mercury from. And I want to talk about mercury because a large portion of mercury is taken from the cinnabar rock.
There it is.
Listen, it produces liquid mercury by crushing the cinnabar, and then you do a little process to it that some fucking science nerd understands, and I don't know how they do it, but they take this rock and they turn it into liquid mercury.
That's cool, though.
And they do the shit that Mercury, that you do whatever you do with Mercury. But listen, this stone can be toxic to you because of that. You know, you don't want to bust open a Mercury thermometer, say, in your butt.
In your butt.
And then have to go to the doctor about it.
I looked it up. I looked up cinnabar because I had no frame of reference here to go off of. One, it looks really sweet. It looks really cool. The first thing I saw, so I went to images, and so when you see images, you can see like the top line of like what it's tied to on the website, and it says cinnabar, a toxic ore of mercury. And it's like, okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. And there's no qualms made about that. Everywhere that I'm looking at, make sure to tell you that. Man, I'm looking at some of these pictures I didn't see before. God, that's really pretty.
Yes. It's all, like, some of them are really neat, and they've got like the shape, that like geometric shape thing going on, and they look like they look like gushers, but hard.
Has that geometric shape because it is kind of related to the quartz family. So it has the same growth pattern. You might find that tall kind of pointed, what is it, six-side point that you can get a quartz in. So this grows in a similar fashion. And it also... there's all my original pictures, which were all raw cinnabar. Sorry, that threw me off. It shows some of the same qualities as a quartz in that it has what they call a dull, it can be a dull luster. In a natural state before it is shined up and polished. It has a hardness between 2 and 2.5. And it also can exhibit what we call twinning. You know, when the two points come, I'll make a little twin.
Soft.
You'll be 2. Interested 5. To know because I...
2.5 is a soft boy. That's not very...
Softy.
It's not very softy. Hard. Yeah.
It's not hard at all. And you'll be interested to know that the... cleavage is described as prismatic.
Oh,
perfect.
Damn. Shit.
So the name cinnabar, which is so tasty.
Yeah.
So tasty to say. Yes. First of all, it's kind of like cinnamon. It's also kind of like cinnabun. It makes me think of a warm, delicious, gooey treat.
Yeah, it does.
It comes from the Greek word, for red cinnamon. So there is a tie there between the cinnamon. Also, I did read somewhere that in Persian, that cinnabar comes from the Persian word that means dragon-like blood. So...
cool. I mean, I'll take it.
I don't know, man.
Listen, it's cool.
Yeah. Cinnabar is currently the most common source that we have of mercury within nature, and it has been used for so long. A source that I saw said since the New Stone Age, cinnabar has been used for mercury. Not sure what they're doing with that back then. However, there are other uses, ones that are probably a little easier to figure out because of this gorgeous red color that this has, much like other stones that have had, malachite and sodalite and all the other ones. Ground up, put it on your face. This was a popular practice in sort of the... Middle East area, sort of like the west part of the Middle East, if that makes sense. Is that Near East? Is that what we call that?
I do not.
So it's like Far East, Middle East?
I don't know. Sure. I've never heard Near East.
I saw one source say Near East.
But I see what you're going for with that.
If I've ever heard that.
I could see how it could make a strong pigment. Looking at it.
And pigment it was used for, not only on the face for your makeup reasonings, but also in textiles and for paints and things like that. And it would later go on to be called, vermilion. So the name vermilion, which is still used in a lot of like red shades of paint, like a vermilion color, that's where that comes from. So in the Mayan civilization, though, we have evidence that this was important in burial rituals. Once upon a time, it does seem like it stopped at a certain point, but if you go back far enough, there is a 7th century queen whose remains are just dusted with this ground up cinnabar, which sounds so luxurious
that
to me.
When really I die, does.
Grind beautifully colored stones up and toss them onto my body, please.
That is, man, I don't know if I've ever heard that before. That's cool. I'm just picturing this. Even in mummy, like even if it was like mummy form, like all dried out, that would still look super cool. Like
just all red, all red dusted, dude. Are you kidding? That's cool. Sick. Yeah. Alchemists would also try to turn cinnabar into gold.
You got to try. You know, you got to give it a shot.
Dude, alchemy is something that cracks me up because it's just such a real life. It's just like, you LARPing son of a bitch. What are you doing? Are you, you're not a scientist.
I see it that I would have, I would have been a woman, so I wouldn't have been able to do dick shit, but I liked it. I would have, me as the person I am now, the Aquarian ass person, I would have absolutely been an alchemist. Like, I don't even doubt it. I would have been so in there.
You'd have had to been... You'd have to been like the woman that secretly advised the alchemist.
Just get very good at costuming and
you could be one of those ancient examples.
Yeah.
When they're like, did you know that fucking Alexander the Great was actually I don't know.
No, I don't
think it was Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Dude. Sometimes I think about Alexander the Great and I think about the fact that he died when he was like in his early 20s, and it makes me feel so unaccomplished.
That's a lot of shit, but listen, hey, you know what, we get to do this for a living, so weigh your scales.
We couldn't do this back then.
Do you want to ride into battle?
Traveling minstrels,
I swear. Come on,
dude. Could you put us, like, on a stage hauled by a couple of donkeys and we would just yell, like, insults at people in battle?
I'd do it.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, there's a market for anything. And listen, you need to laugh in hard times, in war zones.
You gotta laugh your way through the rough times.
While you're recovering, moaning on the ground with, like, a sword in your gut. Listen, you need to laugh.
Oh, God. Speaking of recovering, you keeping up with this Kate Middleton situation?
I don't give a shit about the royals, but something about this one, brother, has got me
more invested.
Fucking hooked. I am, dude. I can't. I'm also just from a because while I don't live it very often, I am. I have a degree in marketing. I've worked in marketing. I'm in it for the PR is fascinating. I can't get over this PR disaster. And I can't look away.
So bad that I have to think there's a part of me that think like the conspiracy theory goes further in that it has to be on purpose. There is no way that you put photos out and think that the internet sleuths aren't going to go to town on it.
I love it.
What are you hiding?
I love it.
That you're putting out these... There's no way you're putting out this bad Photoshop. Anyway.
After the timeline, after everything, it's wild. I'm in. I think odds are it's probably something highly mundane. I know that.
But she 100% got a facelift and she's recovering.
Well,
that's it.
Or fucking abdominal surgery. If you're working on the bowels, dude, if you're legitimately doing that shit, the recovery of that is serious.
I believe she got a facelift, but they can't say it, so it has to be bowel surgery.
I don't know, bro. They could be getting divorced. That's the thing.
The point is, it's a mundane thing.
Oh, it's a mundane thing. 100%. Yeah, I don't think it's anything wild,
but
for once, I'm in deep with this one. So you're not alone. You're not alone. I'm watching. I have my eyes on it.
Good.
Anyway.
Good. I'm going to, anytime I get news, send me news. Okay. Let's see. Where was I? Oh, we have to talk about lacquerware. We have to talk about lacquerware, which is, if you Google cinnabar, you scroll down before you see, it's like the first thing that I fucking see. You'll see these intricate. You all right?
Yeah, I was just...
What's happening?
They were just being suspicious. They're not. The dogs were kind of gearing up.
Very, like...
They were kind of looking like they were going to huff at something, but then they... Gizzy put her head back down. So I was just...
You had like a mom look on your face. Like, don't you do it. Okay, you'll see these intricate ass carvings.
I see some.
Did you see that when you looked up?
Yes, they're beautiful.
Right. So this is called lacquerware, and it can be everything from like little pretty jewelry boxes to jewelry itself to just decorative pieces. You'll see a lot of like vases, vases, but they are so like finely carved. Like this took skill and time and effort. And that is lacquerware. So huge throughout Chinese history, highly prized. These are pieces that you can still find today for like a good little pretty penny. But that's not the only thing that it was used for within Chinese history, because it has a place within traditional Chinese medicine, as a sedative, which
I'll get to it. Is that related?
I'll get to it right now. Let's see. So, off the bat, I want to say, if we're handling cinnabar, you can have cinnabar, right? Like, you can have this in your collection. You can have, dude, if you have some of this lacquerware, take a picture, please, and show it to me, because it's awesome looking. You can have it. It's just a case of sort of like the thing we talked about recently that I don't remember. You want to be careful with it. Don't ingest it. Don't grind it up and put it on your face. Don't do the things that we know not to do with it. Also, we can get dangerous with long exposure to crystals that have been encapsulated, you know, whether that be through a, like a tumbling process, or it has some kind of, I don't know, lacquer or varnish applied to it. It's encapsulated in some way. Just be smart about what you have, what you're getting, and how you're using it. If you're handling it, wash your hands afterwards, and probably don't wear like the jewelry with cinnabar, right? Like, just be smart, okay? Don't eat it. Don't let your cats suck on it. Mm-hmm. However, I did read about a study. Now, this was like, it was like a blend between, I'm reading it and I'm like, wow, this is a really big study, big words here, big time words, but like also sometimes it would just be completely misspelled and there would be grammatical errors, so I don't know. However, it does appear that in some contexts, the legitimacy of which is unknown, certain compounds of cinnabar, or ground up cinnabar, was given to test subjects, usually mice, and then ran through like a maze. And it was shown that after ingesting this, now do not ingest this if you're trying to get a pump on at the gym or something. This is just anecdotal information. They found that after ingesting this, these mice put out like so much creatine. And like,
interesting.
Yeah, and some like other like, you know, I'm not a gym person, but like some other like, oh, you know, kind of chemicals within the body. And also in a long-term exposure, it did act as a sedative. health conditions, I'm not sure about.
Sure.
If they looked into that. But they did find that this acts almost as like a hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And then at the end of it, it's like,
Okay. So you mean it's like you've I don't exactly know what who means with an upward.
You know, when you go to the gym and you go,
got you. Yeah. Okay.
When you turn into Larry the Lobster,
yeah,
and you
so
go,
you get real like bomb, 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 like pump up real big. And then it's like, burr, like down. Gotcha. Burr. Okay. Got you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I love that we have two very distinct ways of describing it, but somehow still the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
With using noises and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't ingest this for that purpose. However, I did take this to kind of relay into the metaphysical properties, which let's get into.
Okay.
Right now. So, the element. Can you guess what it's associated with? It's fire.
Yeah.
You don't get to guess. I told you.
Nah, I believe it.
There seems to be a big tie between cinnabar and cinnamon, if you could imagine.
Sure, yeah.
So a lot of the ways that we use cinnamon, we can use cinnabar. And cinnabar, at the end of the day, is a lot like the other red stones out there. It's associated with fire. It's associated with passion and creativity and vitality. It is also said to be a creative stone. Wonderful to keep with you if you are doing works of creation, which I can see, because look at those fucking lacquerware pieces. Those are works of art, my guy. Also, this was a stone that was used in painting, that vermilion red paint color. So it has a history of being a creative stone. I wrote here for like the fifth time, due to its mercury content, cinnabar should not be used in elixirs, ingested, or kept in direct contact with the skin.
Ooh, elixir. I've really not heard the word elixir in a while. That's a good word.
Elixir.
Elixir.
Yeah, I like elixir. Like yeah. Maybe a little elixir. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then goes on to talk about the tumbled stone. Okay, yeah. Anyway, I think we can glean a lot from this stone based on, I mean, aside from those like assigned qualities to it, the transformation, vitality, passion, creativity, yada yada, I think we can kind of come up with some other things that this could be good for by looking at it as a chemical, as a perhaps dangerous chemical, perhaps something used in I don't know. I'm trying to think of a specific spell that you would want an initial burst of energy to. Kind of like cinnamon is used as a catalyst to like kind of do a lot of quick magic. Yeah. That's what I typically will use cinnamon for, is to be like, okay, here's my spell, but let's put some cinnamon on top of it because like, bam, we got to get this going.
Expedite it.
Expedite it. Yeah. Saint, what is it? Is it Saint Expedite?
Is that a saint?
Hold on. Saint.
Is that where we got that word from? Am I learning something new today?
It might not be. It's expeditious? Expeditious?
Ah.
Sorry, I'm not Catholic saint, and I'm also not expedite. Good at words.
Okay, but look, when I search Saint Expedite, it also known as expedite. So listen, there it is. Saint Expedite.
No, that's who you... that's who you're generally gonna petition. If hold on, let me check my input.
Looked a little I'm high. Seeing okay. it with
that's generally who you're
money magic.
Yeah. A lot of people will work with that particular saint within certain
never heard of it before
conjure magics and stuff like that to help bring a sense of expeditiousness
valuable
to a spell. Valuable, very valuable. However. That is how I would also use cinnabar, to kind of bring a quick burst. But it might be especially useful in a spell that you want to be kicking the door in right out of the gate, fucking chock full of creatine, busting the Planet Fitness doors
you're
wide
just
open.
Kool-Aid Manning with this spell.
Yeah. But like you Kool-Aid Man to come into the house and lay down and take a nap.
Yeah, maybe so, sweep up a little bit, kind of clear a nice little space.
Yeah. You're like, I'm here, motherfucker! And then you make a nest and you just hibernate for a little while. And I'm trying to think of a specific example of a spell that might be needed, where you would need this quick entry, but you would want sort of a long, slow, sleepy, tranquil after.
I feel that could be really good for first impressions, personally. Like,
okay.
You kind of like give that burst of magic, like, here I am, like, this is like, be captivated.
Like and a then, job interview.
Yeah, anything like that.
You come in like, whoa.
Yeah, you're making that impression and you dazzle. And then after that, it's like,
yes.
But then I just settle in because I don't want to be constant drama. Yeah. I don't want to be constantly in the center
of
attention.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to make an impression, but I can also be chill.
Hire me, then leave me alone. That's the goal.
Yeah. I'll do the, ooh. God, to be hired
and then left alone. Yeah, it's rare.
you know, I'm also seeing maybe some use in some kind of sexy time magic with, you know, the obvious blasting of doors down and then a sleepy, almost like an aftercare kind of vibe.
You've got
a very
it on the brain.
Being
you're
fed potatoes by Sam or whatever that
tear don't
whatever
right
that candle
now.
Said.
I can see it on you. I can fucking smell it. I know that's where you are. You get properly beaten, and then they're like, here, let me put you in fresh linens that absorb your blood. Welts from your back. Yeah.
Permanent tire marks across the ribs.
Yes! Dude. Wheel marks? For those of y'all who have never
listened to this, please go listen to Cachures.
We were talking, so Phaedra Nodulone is an Anglicet. We're not going to get into the lore of that, but anyway, it means she likes getting hit with a flogger, okay? And it leaves wheel marks.
She likes it a bit rough.
W-E-A-L, wheel marks. Like it leaves, you know, a wheel. And but it wasn't really clarified because you can't see the spelling. Charlie didn't see the spelling, so I was saying she's got these wheel marks on her. She was like, from tires?
Yeah, like I know they like get rough, but
they run over with wagons. Oh my god!
Yes, just tire trip.
Oh, cracks me up.
Oh wow. Okay. Anyway, that is that's Cinnabar. May you use it for some hot, fiery, spicy magic, and may you get a delicious, tasty, sweet nap afterwards.
That's good.
Don't eat it.
Don't eat it. Cinnabar.
Yeah.
Don't eat it.
Cinnabar. Don't eat it.
Charlie.
Macy.
Do you want to, like, learn a whole bunch of stuff in one day?
Always.
And just always really learn a lot? Listen, I've got a virtual one-day conference, a mini-con, if you will, on the magic of astrology, and it is being presented by That Witch Life, friend of the show, repeat sponsor. And
we love them.
We do. And we've got the magic of astrology, a mini con going on April 6th, this year, 2024.
And you're correct, you know, because listen, I was, when you were like, do you want to learn something? I was all in for it, but I was like, not if I have to go anywhere, dude.
No.
So virtual.
Virtual.
Join from anywhere, my guy. And I have seen so many people on our Facebook page getting into astrology recently or asking about resources for astrology. So this would be a wonderful place to start. I want to talk a little bit about some of the classes that we have going on here. Can we do that?
We can do that.
So first of all, we've got our master class going off, Empowering Your Witchcraft with Astrology. We also have featured presentation, Mastering Traditional Astrology, A Depth of Beginning in the Celestial Art.
It's a beautiful
then
class.
Then we've got
title.
The Moon Made Me Do It.
Woo! I like that.
Which we've all been there.
We've all been there.
Healing. Healing Through the Star Goddess and The Artist's Astrology.
I really
so if you are interested in checking any of those out, I'm especially interested in that masterclass because, listen, I can't pass up a masterclass. A masterclass?
A masterclass.
Are you kidding me? Give it to me. When can I do this?
So this is going on April 6, 2024, and it is from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific time. And the thing is, guys, is that if you're busy that day, if you know you got something going on that day, it's okay, because this, all of the workshops are recorded and they're available for 30 days after the conference. So you can get the whole thing. You can watch it for 30 days, take your notes, do your studying, no pressure, guys. And listen, right now, there's early bird pricing, and that early bird pricing is going until March 22nd. So if you want to get in on that early pricing, you can go to thatwitchlife.com and you can see your tickets and you can read up on the facilitators teaching at this mini con and all of that jazz. One more time, that is thatwitchlife.com.
Please don't forget that there's raffles and giveaways, and that's just
Come on.
The funnest little thing.
The best.
Check it out, That Witch Life mini con, thatwitchlife.com.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm going to talk to you about bronzite. It's another rock. Okay.
Bronzite. That's what I like about Texas.
I actually don't know if it is in Texas. It's for sure in the U.S. Bronzite's everywhere. Bronzite's kind of common as fuck. There's a lot of bronzite on the world.
Basic. The
world. It's a lot of it. It is a bronze-colored gemstone or a crystal rock.
Is it just, is it as simple as bronzeite?
Bronzeite. You know how they do it. They just stick ite at the end, but there's no E, so it's just bronzeite.
I love to do that.
And it's pretty. I really like it. Yeah, I think it looks really nice.
Looks like tiger's eye, but like, but not.
Often described that way. Yeah, it's like a calico tiger's eye in a way, which I think looks really nice. And you can find it all over the fucking place. It's in the U.S., Austria, England, South Africa, England, Norway, and Greenland, to name some places, and not even everywhere. But it's
name all of them.
It's everywhere.
Name every place.
Every country. And
name every country right now. Go.
Dude, again, I know y'all are tired of this, but listen, it's just going to be woven in for the next weeks now. I've been studying the map in the front of the book, you know, and it, because it lays over our map. And which I got to send you the new map, because it's going to blow your fucking dick how much bigger it is.
That's
okay.
Right.
It's huge. And so I was looking at it and I was trying to like figure out what countries fall into where it is now. And there's so many countries I've never heard of. And I was just like, oh, okay. And I wasn't familiar with them. Anyway, bronzeite. It's cool.
That's the American public school system at work.
And so igneous rocks. It's into igneous rocks. That's where you might find it, is in igneous rocks. You can maybe even find it in a meteorite too, which would be pretty cool. You get some like meteorite.
I love when that happens.
That's pretty cool, man. And mine is harder than yours. So bronzite has a moderate hardness. Moderate hardness of 5.5.
That's really not what you want.
Moderate hardness.
When someone describes you.
5.5 to 6.5. So
that seems
middle
hard.
Of the pack. It's hard enough,
yeah.
I guess.
Hard enough to get it done.
Hard enough. Yeah. And so bronzite, it is part of the pyroxene silicate mineral group, which sounds like a mining company. When they put group at the end, it just, mineral group, it just sounds like a company.
It's like company. Yeah.
And so it is nestled kind of right alongside a couple other stones. Enstatite, E-N, enstatite, and one that you have talked about.
Stop.
Enstatite.
Enstatite. All right, go on.
Spelled with an E. And one, I believe you have covered, hypersthene. Hypersthene. I know that you've talked about one that had like a steen kind of thing going on at the end.
There was like a Yeah.
So, enstatite and bronzite and hypersthene are close, but there's some differences which we'll get into somewhere in here that I don't exactly remember, but they have very similar chemical compositions going on, and the difference lies in crystalline system, apparently, and also a couple other different inclusions of stuff, namely amount of iron and shit that's in the three of them.
Crystalline!
But, okay, so it can be hard. It can be so difficult to tell them apart. So bronzite and hypersthene are so difficult to tell apart at times that the only way to tell them apart is with testing. So as to like do the fancy mineral testing. I don't know if they scrape it and look at it under a microscope. I don't know how you test this, but they check that way because they can be that hard to tell apart. Apparently,
they give them a quiz.
They do. They sit both rocks down and say, "What are you?" And they have to answer.
Yeah. And then they tell you.
Enstatite.
Yeah. Be honest.
So it seems hypersthene is higher in magnesium. And so that's kind of a difference there. And enstatite is lower in iron than bronzite. So there's a fair bit of iron in bronzite, which you can tell by the color. It's kind of got that iron look going on with it.
Yeah. Just with my my layman's eyes, my everyday man eyes, it looks to me like hypersthene is like more black, more of like a, it looks striated, you know?
Yeah.
These stupid scientists can't tell the difference.
Losers. Losers. And there's a variation in color here. So most bronzite is a chocolatey to bronzy brown with the inclusions. Like it's as you would think. But it can veer to green and like dark green, dark black. It can
baby
be dark
shit green.
It can be dark baby shit green, like the Texas tea baby shit. Yeah. So maybe that's where they touch tips, you know, and that's where they get harder to tell apart. I'm not really sure. to, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And whatever.
Yeah. You know,
I guess the science nerds get a break this time.
I know they know stuff. I know y'all know stuff. It's just, it's so hard to know what you know. It's so difficult to grasp it. And so bronzite,
nothing's real,
is primarily composed of magnesium, iron, silicate, with amounts of some other dudes in there, such as calcium and manganese, which is where you're getting all of your effect, I guess, all your cool stuff when you look at this.
Manganese makes me think
manganese,
of mango.
Manganese. It always makes me think of Mankey, the Pokemon. Wasn't his name Mankey, the little pig-nosed monkey?
I'm Aaron Mankey.
Why is he? Why is Aaron Mankey talking about, I'm Aaron Mankey. And this is Mankey.
Understand.
Yeah, there was a merging there. That was great. So it's a metamorphic rock. And it forms through the recrystallizing of rocks after high heat and high pressure. So they get all hot, they get all loose, and then they cool all off again, and crystals form during the cooling process. I'm your teacher, I'm your science teacher today, Macy. Hi, nice to meet you. And so they like it, though, generally. So at first when I hear that, I cannot help, even though it's not always like all volcanic and metamorphic, like I know there's differences and certain things go different ways and rocks confuse the hell out of me, but I always hear like metamorphic and I'm like, hot lava. Yeah, there's lava in there.
I think of like a porous lava stone.
I can't help it. But apparently where this guy really, you pop up a lot of bronzite is when mountains are getting made. So when mountains are like ramming together.
When two tectonic plates love each other.
When they're bumping. Apparently it gets real hot and it gets real steamy and hot and loose. And then you get bronzite out of the deal after a little while. And
cute. It's a child of the earth.
It's a child of the earth, which it is a very earthy stone. It fits. It's a child of the earth. And apparently, geologists, do you remember when we annoyed both of our mothers with "we're the lords of the earth"?
Lords of the earth.
Oh God, yeah. They should have left us at Disneyland.
Absolutely,
and
I would
drove
have
away,
turned around, and grabbed a fucking gun to
shoot.
Dude,
there's got to be gators in Disney World lagoons or Disney. They should have just pushed us in and walked away.
And
I don't know why they didn't.
Gone home.
Oh God, drive home in the peace and quiet. Oh, they deserved it. And so, apparently, two geologists that know what they are talking about, and like they know how they could look at a rock and read the story of the earth, which is wild to me. It's so cool how people can do that. So, bronzite is a good rock for that. Why are you so anti-geologist today? I love it. We have like the devil's advocate of big geology here today. I don't know, folks. So
it's my new shit. Yeah, anti-science now.
And so it's but people, like, you can look at this rock apparently because it's got all the goodies in it, and you can be like, bunch of shit happened here. And you can look at this rock, and as someone who knows how to look at a rock and know things about it can be like, I don't know, this is what I know by looking at this rock. And it's shit like, what was going on underneath the earth?
It is like kind of witchy, though.
Crazy to me. You're reading the history of the earth from a rock.
It's pretty sick.
That's crazy. I'm into it. I don't understand it. My brain doesn't grasp it, but I'm glad y'all are out there to tell us.
But I'm fucking into it.
What's happening, because that's wild. And so bronzite, unsurprisingly, like we talked about, it's bronze. You look at it and you're like, I would call it that.
Yeah.
I would call it bronzite. And sometimes too,
I would call it calico cat eye.
I would want to put the word calico in there. The first thing that I saw or thought when I saw it was, it looks like calico to me. And
I thought it looked like a sandy, like a golden sand beach, because there's like a graininess to it.
I think it's gorgeous. Yeah. And you can get some real fancy ones that have pyrite in them. So they've got like a really good, kind of like that fool's gold flash to them when you when you turn them.
The cookware.
Yeah. Which isn't as good as it used to be. You got to get your, it's not. They changed it.
It's not. And no, you got to look into
it. You got to find it at antique stores and get that good shit. And so it's very common to get the chatoyancy effect with bronzite, and which I never think I'm saying it right, and I never will. I'm never going to be confident that I'm saying that word correctly. But listen, you know what it is. Fine. It's when you get kind of that kind of like cat's eye effect. And apparently, depending on the composition of the minerals, oh, here we go. Yeah, the color can be greenish to black. So that's where you kind of, but the bronze, chocolatey brown hues are your bread and butter sweet spot.
Okay.
However, if you want to see the shiny goods, though, if you want to see those sweet inclusions, you got to throw that bitch in a rock tumbler and you got to polish it up. Because when it's raw, it doesn't look like much. It's kind of like how, like, raw tiger's eye, which I love raw tiger's eye. I've got a big chunk of raw tiger's eye. You can still see it, but it's not until you shine it up that it's you're just, like, oh, shit. Yeah. You know, like, it's kind of the same
deal. A lot of raw stones will do that. You'll look at a raw stone. And I'm like, big on, like, following, like, rock tumbling TikTok right now. But you'll just pick up a hand of rocks from, like, your yard or something. And you'll be like, yeah, look at these dusty fucks. This is nothing. And then you tumble it for a little while and you get the most brilliant shit.
I need to do that. I've got a rock tumbler.
Oh, dude.
I was given a rock tumbler. Yeah, Hunter's mom gave me one. And I'm so nervous to use it. And I can't tell you why. Like, I've got everything I need to do it. But I've been too scared to pick a rock. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pick.
Just get several ones that are, like, this big, you know. And just do it.
And just do
it. What are you gonna? You're gonna hurt a rock?
Well, I'm worried about the noise. I know that it's loud, so I'm also having to figure out what room I'm gonna shut it in because I can't take it. But I do want to do it. I want to see. My whole life, I've wanted a rock tumbler. I've never tumbled a rock in my life.
Never.
Never once.
I had a cheapy rock tumbler kit.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever, like, had the patience to get, because it's a lesson in patience, you know, because you can't just tumble it for, like, a day and then get this shiny pretty rock. You have to, like, switch the grit levels and do it for, like, weeks at a time and check in on them and redo it. And it's a whole thing. But, like, at the end of it, I feel like it's worth it. You could have some pretty, like, unique looking shit. You wrap it, make yourself a necklace.
Oh. I need to do that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep you updated. Okay.
Ooh, post pictures of the
update
of
the progress. Yeah. I should. I need to go out to my driveway today and just pick a random ugly ass looking rock and just see what happens.
Why are you saying rock, though? Like a singular rock?
Well, whatever. Rocks. Get a couple. But, like, just some regular ass. I'm gonna put one rock in it. Don't they all help polish each other too? Like, you kind of like, they does probably, them bumping into each other speed things along. I figured it would. It's kind of like when you're just trying, when I need to, I always have a harder time just drying one thing in the dryer versus drying multiple things, because it seems like they beat the hell out of each other and dry themselves out versus one just glue it to the side like the alien ship at the fair, and it just sucks around the edge the whole time.
It's like, are you just getting creases dried into you?
Yes. Yeah. So I feel like that's what's going on here. Anyway.
Get you some dryer balls. Those things are magic.
The little ones, like the
little wool
ones.
Wool balls.
Yeah, I need to do that. And so here's the thing. I don't know about this fact. I don't even know if this is true, but
So tell us all.
Well, I always like to look into the history of these stones and kind of like when they were named and whatnot. And so from what I could read, this stone was named, put on paper by one W.H. Smith in 1906. Though it was, of course,
that's
known
6 years before the sinking of the Titanic.
Shit, 1912. Never forget, a night to remember. And it was used well before then. The reason I just couldn't find anything more than this. I found that one sentence recycled over and over and over again and no further context. And I don't know why that would be. It doesn't say where it was discovered, why, how, just W.H. Smith in 1906. So I don't know about it, but there you go. Anyway.
The recycling of specific terms. Yes. And it's like, we'll do it sometimes too, because there's only so many ways to say this stone has a Mohs hardness of, you know what I mean? But like, you can, in a way that you could tell that it was literally copied and pasted.
Lifted and pasted. Yeah. It's so common. And because of the hardness of it, it's pretty good for carving. Now, it's not as soft as yours, which is, I feel like, why you can get those intricate carvings with that cinnabars, because it's only like a 2.5.
Butter. So you can just carve it with your finger now.
Ooh, yeah. I want to do it. But this is a bit harder. You're going to need, but it still carves well. But interesting.
You ever watch those cow hoof, horse hoof?
Oh, farriers and shit. Like when, watch, I guess that's shoers. But I guess shoers. I know we've got some farrier listeners. I guess you'll clean and trim the hooves too, all the same. It's a whole full deal. But I do. Yes. I love watching hooves get cleaned out and trimmed. Like when they do the big, like, wow, trimmers around the edge and they're like clipping. And it's like,
dig all the dirt out.
Oh, you know that horse puts that foot down and it's like, oh, yeah.
Oh.
It's got to feel great. Yeah. Come on.
I bet it feels like, you know, when you let, okay, maybe you don't, but you know, when you like let your toenails get a little too long and they kind of start to hurt. Yes. You're just like, it's time.
Yes.
I imagine that's what it feels like. It's like sore and then you get them jerked off.
You
that's
get them jerked.
You get them cut. And then you put that foot down and you're like, this is living.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like to them, it probably feels like when, I mean, this is a dumb comparison because they literally can get this exact same thing, but it's got to be a similar sensation as, like, you know, when you go and you're getting your hair washed at the salon, you know, like, I feel like it's got to be that feeling of like when they're getting everything all cleaned out, they're just like, really good. Just,
yeah. Give it
yes.
to me. Yeah.
Oh, anyway.
Like when you're getting your foot scraped at a pedicure.
Oh, and they're doing the file and they're cleaning off all the barnacles. Yeah. No, I, it's a time. I've not had a pedicure in,
dude,
maybe 8 years. So, yeah, there we go. I'm serious. Like,
I just, there's nothing wrong with that. I just wasn't expecting you to say that.
Yeah, if not longer. I think the last one I actually had was in college. Yeah, so it would be a fun, but, you know, I like my tough shod feet at this point. Yeah. Yeah, I miss the feeling, because when they put that file on there, it's just like, whoa.
The file is God, next level.
It's so good. And I could do it to myself, but it's not the same.
I like sitting in that, like, questionably clean pedicure chair.
Yeah, man.
And having it beat the shit out of my back.
Yeah, punch me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, punch me. Punch me.
Punch me. So... Punch
me. You just think about punch me. Okay, go on.
I'm jealous, okay, first of all, from some of this. So I, similar to other stones that we have talked about, for people who have a lot of disposable money, you can get countertops made out of this shit that are just big old countertop slabs, similar to what we talked about with Labradorite.
I gotta see what it looks like.
Which I think of Labradorite counters often. And dream big about them, because that would just be amazing.
Labradorite counters, do you know how much lottery you'd have to win?
It's so much monies, so many much monies, but they are so beautiful. Also, for some reason, bronzite, I guess because there's such an amount of it, there's so much of it, and it carves well and looks so pretty. It is commonly used for ornamental things like carvings, such as like fancy tops of stairwells. Like a stone knob on like a stairwell might be made out of bronzite, things like that, you know, statues and vases and busts and shit, ornamental stuff. Busts. Also similarly to yours, what's the word? Pigment. That's the word I was thinking of. It can be ground up and put into pigment form, and was used as a pigment for paints and things of the like. So I just this really want to grind.
Poisonous?
I mean, it's got a lot of iron in it. I don't think so, but I didn't look it up. So assume yes until you know better.
That's all I need to know. And hell yeah, brother. That's all I need to know.
I just really want to, I want to grind up a gemstone so bad. I just want to do it and see what it, and mix it, and make like a paint and like,
and just make like a, yeah, get one of those big glass grinder things that you
just
want to
do it. I just want to do it. Yeah. And see what happens, man. Mm-hmm. It just sounds so satisfying.
So it's like a safe stone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I worry about my lungs.
You should. Yeah. They're important. And speaking of using this in creative
ways. Listen, I'm an ex-smoker.
Yeah.
One ground up stone is going to take me out.
Just add it. That's the straw. Add it to the list.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe, I got a resistance. I don't know. Fuck you.
Speaking of using this in creative ways, who else loved using things in creative ways but the Romans? And the Romans had a lot of opinions about bronzite. And really, they're kind of interesting, and they range over a few different avenues, but they really liked the cut of bronzite's jib. Like, it was embraced pretty heavily, namely grinding it up into a powder and using it to fight confusion and mental illness.
Pardon?
So,
what is... Okay. What was fucking wrong with him?
Why? I also love the vague umbrella of confusion. Confusion.
And what? Would they, like, fucking blow this powder
that was my
into
question.
Your face like they did on Midsommar?
I was like, are they snorting
for your vitality?
It? Are they, like, doing a line of bronzite, which can't be good? I mean, like, even if it's not poisonous, you don't want to put a bunch of silica up into your sinus cavities. Yeah, what are they doing? And so from what I could find, they would grind it up and add it to medicinal pastes. Now, I don't know if that means they would, like, put it on their forehead, you know, if they're trying to fight.
For confusion.
Confusion.
Makes sense.
You put it on your head. Yeah. I don't know.
Sometimes they were very... Dude, they're a perfect blend of totally and completely literal and then completely out of left
Just
field.
Give it a shot.
There's no...
Yeah, throw it and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And I don't know any more than that. I don't know what they would do with the pastes or how they would go about it. Maybe the feet. They're all about the feet. Do they smear it on the feet?
They love putting shit in their feet.
They seem to swear
about that.
There's
too many herbs down there already.
There are a lot of herbs brushing up on the feet. Yeah. Maybe
can't
this
put this paste down there,
it
too.
It needs to go to the head for confusion. Mm. And I tried to see if Pliny the Elder had written anything about it, and I could not find any writings of the or opinions on the matter of that.
Huh.
They would also, though, use bronzite as a talisman to wear. They would wear it for the protective, soothing energies of this stone. Protection was a big thing with it. And apparently, you know, there was all this belief that it helped the nerves, the nervous system, keeping you settled. And this belief that it calmed the nerves, it carried on all the way to the Middle Ages. So that hung around for a long time. And really just weaseled on.
They needed nerve calming.
I mean, can you imagine living in the Middle Ages?
No. I wouldn't do it.
I would have died as a child from kidney disease. So I would have checked out early.
100%. Like, yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
I mean,
and my mom would have died in childbirth.
Mom.
I was a C-section baby, yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mom would have died just for sure, actually, in my childbirth.
Rustin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So great. So we would have been.
You wouldn't have even been
not
conceived.
Involved. Yeah. So, but that carried on. Middle Ages, wearing it as a talisman. So on that note, that's where we'll start veering into the metaphysical. We're kind of getting into that. They're wearing it as talismans. And guess what, guys? Bronzite is known as the stone of courtesy. And there's reasons for that. And it is said that this stone encourages a two-way courteous respect, keeping interactions courteous and considerate of the participants of the discussion.
This is for when you don't like someone.
Yeah, it is. And this is a very good grounding stone, and it's got lots of iron in it. Iron is very grounding. And it comes sometimes from mountains getting it on underneath the ground. So with that is this deep earthly peace. Again, it's a baby of the earth. And you just get that earth
All
mother
about
energy going on
is
here.
Big mouth when the
when the alien fucks the earth
monsters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. That's it's there's just a lot of large scale megalithic mountain fucking that birthed this stone. And because of that, you get, you know what it reminds me of? You know what it reminds me of? Everybody, I'm sorry, but you know how like Eloah is the child of Yeshua ben Yosef's tears and the Magdalene, or like, you know, the Magdalene's tears and the blood. And then the mother is like, poof, here's groovy Eloah. I feel like that's what this is, except it's from mountain copulation. Anyway.
Are we going to write a book in the style?
Dude, of, I can't. Of,
dude, but all rocks. All rocks.
You just replace all of the all the characters with rocks and just see what happens.
That's what we do. We copy paste the whole book and then we just find and replace names.
What kind of rock is Joslan? And then we just pick them all. That would be a fun activity.
I was gonna say, don't even fucking play. You know that's a whole. You know that's a whole.
That's a bonus episode. Yeah, we need to do episode. What yeah. rocks are everybody? Okay, you know what?
If you want to write check that out down shit before bonus episodes, patreon.com/WBH podcast.
All right, I'm gonna write that down because it sounds like a fun time. So this earthly, peaceful, just Mother Earth kind of courteous energy, well, it's gonna be really useful for meditation, especially if you've got like a robot chicken mind that just likes to flit around from channel to channel all of the time, and you're, you know, you have a hard time kind of focusing down. This is kind of like that boom, let's go like down, let's go down to earth here, slow things down and get down into that calm focused energy. Bronzite apparently can be used to help with the removal of emotional blockages within the body, bringing more balance within the person, and being the stone of courtesy, which we cannot forget, this also goes towards ourselves, because it is very important we extend courtesy towards ourselves, too. Because
we're just little guys.
Very often, we do not, and we treat ourselves way worse than we would ever let our friends get treated. A thousand times, like immediately.
That is my favorite go-to.
Like, would you is being would like, you talk would you, to me that way?
Would you say this about your friend?
Yeah. And but we're it's very common. It's very easy to fall into that in thought or action. And Bronzite perhaps can be a good reminder that we are able to be our own friend too. Not just able to. We should strive to be our own friend. Not an adversary or not just apathetic, just to try to extend that branch and make a friendship with ourselves, because we deserve that level of care. Because self-care, as many of us know, is a pretty broad umbrella. There's self-care in the form of the everything shower, when you just, you really go in and you do it all, you know? And there's self-care in the form of internal care, you know, self-love work such as this. And it takes practice.
Enemas.
An emotional enema is, you know, get in there. Get in there with your emotional enema.
Get in there. Wash it up.
And it takes practice and attention to kind of catch these negative things that we do to ourselves, say to ourselves, things towards ourselves in the moment, and try to see if we can, you know, let's look at that for a second. You know, I would never say that to Charlie. I would never let anyone say that about Charlie. I'd get pissed, you know? So why then for me is this so easy?
But the level of what I would say to you versus what I would let someone say to you is so different.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude, if someone looks sideways at you, I'm ready to fight. Just saying.
And but it's that thing of like extending ourselves that same courteous respect of being like, well, wait a minute. Maybe we should be like, well, no, this is, hold on a second there, self, saying these negative fucking things. That's my friend you're talking about. Yeah. I know her, okay? And catching those moments. And even if it's just like getting the awareness of like, huh, I just did that again. Like, I just caught myself in another one of those, man. Like, just the awareness is a good thing. And this is can be a stone that kind of help us be like, hey, let's be nice, okay? Let's just be nice to yourself. And I feel like it's just there whispering to you all day about
why
that.
Is it my strong hand guy?
I don't know. I feel like coming from the earth, it would probably actually be like, let's be
Nice.
Whatever you want, pick one.
Have you ever seen the Where's the Fucking Soil?
No.
Dude, I have to, it's so stupid, I have to send it to you. It's just this whole thing about, like, all the other plants, it's like they need a specific acidity of the soil.
Oh,
they need
to be, yeah, is this like potatoes?
In a very specific way. Yeah, and then it cuts to potatoes, and they've got, like, yeah, all of these, so like, scary roots, and it's, where's the fucking soil? Love it.
And so, basically, be your own champion. That's wrapping this all up, is be your own champion as you champion for those that you care about. And we can give ourselves that courtesy and grace because we deserve it, just like we give it to our loved ones, because we are the cup we pour out of. And if our cup is full of cracks because we're constantly punching the inside of our cup, then that's going to leak out and we won't have as much love to pour out. So it's just...
That's a good point. Everyone always says, like, you can't pour from an empty cup, but you also can't pour from a damaged,
a busted cup. Yeah, you got to patch it.
A busted cup.
You got to patch your busted cup. And so that's, this is a stone of self-esteem in that way. And this is also a stone associated with Leo. And it's, I meant to mention that above earlier, but I said self-esteem and then eventually remembered Leo. They asked
with who? With who?
I'm not saying it again. I refuse.
I know you wouldn't. Even as I was doing it, I was like,
she's not
of all
do this
people to not answer me right now.
Yeah.
And it's Macy and any Taurus. Any Aquarius and any Taurus.
And and it's not the kind of kick in the door in self-esteem energy, but more of just like a bubbling up all the time, just kind of there as this supportive layer, so it feels authentic, not like a mask. And because listen, I fake it until I make it all the time. We've all had to do that. It's just part of it. It's a strategy of its own. But that is kind of like wearing a mask of confidence, you know? And even if sometimes it could turn into real confidence, sometimes it's not. And you're just like, yeah.
Sometimes the mask fuses to
you. Yes. And you're just like, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, sure. but this is like, it's just there simmering because it's legitimate and, you know, kind of building up that confidence there. And again, this is a grounding stone that invites us to look inward and shake your own hand. And, you know, give yourself a good handshake there. Bring some peace in.
A good corporate handshake.
Yeah, a forearm clasp. Give yourself a brother forearm clasp.
Yeah.
Make that olive branch.
You know, in Lord of the Rings, at the very end, after Merry and Pippin have been abducted by the Uruk-hai, and then Aragorn and his friends Legolas and Gimli all decide that the fellowship isn't broken, they're going to go after, they're going to not abandon. I'm channeling airplane facts right now, but there is a scene where Aragorn puts his hand on Gimli, and he's like, we won't abandon them to their fate or whatever. And there's this shot of Gimli, and he just takes his hand and just puts it on Aragorn's hand. Like, have you... I can't even describe it unless you've seen it. It's just a quick shot where he just goes and grabs Aragorn's forearm. You'll do one of those.
That's what you're doing to yourself. And your internal self, like, is Gimli and you are Aragorn. And then once you give that, your internal self will go, you know what? I will. And then you just do the little, you do the little clasp.
Yeah. It's great.
And... really, there's just a lot of power in that, you know? There's a lot of power that comes from forging that path with yourself. And so whether you're wearing your bronzite, because it does make good beads and cabochons or whatever, cabs, it's pretty common in jewelry to find, or whether you've got like a good carving or like a sphere or a palm stone that sits by your desk when you're working and doing shit, whatever it is, however you do it, remember what it's inviting you to do all the time that it's there, when it's just
shake your own hand.
Telling you, shake your own hand, get some spackle and fix that cup. Take a little time, fix that cup. And just remember that, and you can, it's a good partner for that. And anyway, that's pretty much it. when you need to be courteous towards yourself. It is the stone of courtesy. Let us not forget it. That is bronzite. Anyway, that's what I have for you. That's bronzite.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The stone of courtesy, the stone of courtesy. Everyone. Welcome to the stage, the stone of courtesy.
Stone of courtesy. Cracks me up.
I like how sometimes these stones will have titles like that, mm-hmm. you know, like the shoemaker's stone or, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, but like, okay, not that. Not
I like
that.
It.
Don't give me that.
No, I want it to exist. I want to make that stone.
I like when we give little titles to these stones, but then you run into the problem where like, you're researching a stone and you're like, oh, this is called the Witch's Stone. And then like you research a stone a couple weeks later and it's like, this is also called mm-hmm. the Witch's Stone. Mm-hmm. People need to get their shit together. But I do like it. Let's bring it back.
Give it a name.
Let's start naming. Let's give everything a purpose like that.
Yeah. The stone of something. The herb of something. Give yeah. it a stake to claim. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, shit.
Give things names, dude. Yeah. You know, like how they used to name everything back in the day? Like, I love to do it. Lord of the Rings. Mm. Everything has a fucking name. The weapons all have their names.
Dude.
The cloaks have
name
names.
Your tools. I love
name everything.
Naming tools and shit. Like, mm. of course you got to name that sword, man. You and that sword are killing people. Do it together. Become a team.
Taking life together.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Like,
you,
that's a...
You need to name it.
You got to name that thing.
And refer to it.
Yeah. Give it...
As that name.
It feed it blood. Bring it alive. Make it real. Yeah. See? Fucking magic.
We go to jail. We get arrested for encouraging.
Everybody's just like, oh, so I gotta like sword. Make my blade and wet it with blood and name it. Okay, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Hold on. Listen, don't do that. Wow. Okay, well, that wraps up another week of the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour, the podcast about witchcraft. Join us next week where we will do more talking.
We're going to talk about it some more.
Mostly, probably, about things we cover in SimCap.
Oh my God.
To check out SimCap. Check us out on patreon.com/WBH podcast. We have all kinds of tiers with different rewards. Any patronage, anything is very, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say it's very appreciated.
That's how you say it. Yeah.
That's how you say it.
That's how you do it.
And let's see what else. We have an email address where you can write us things like advertising inquiries.
Yes.
Or send in your spooky stories. Make sure to put spooky in the title. WBAH@gmail.com. Nope. WBAHpodcast@gmail.com. There it is. And of course, we've got all the social medias. You can check that out. They are linked down below. What else? What else we got?
Prints, guys. Next week they're going out. Sorry that they're not going out this week, but I just got back from a trip. You're about to go on a trip. So Charlie and me getting together to sign these bad boys is going to be a little tricky this week. So we will be getting them out
next
week.
We're going to get together at that Cracker Barrel.
When we can get them. Yes, we're going to meet at Cracker Barrel, as is the tradition. We're going to get them signed early next week and then get them packed up and out to you guys, which is also when we're going to get together and do the raffle as well. And we will pull those. Mm. So if you got a raffle and
you're fun, I'm excited.
I am too.
Raffle.
I wanted to be together when we pull it. So we will do that and get that all in the generator and pull them randomly. So anyway, no, that's coming, guys. And yeah, that's what I got for you today. I'm about to go dive right back in to Kushiel's Chosen and keep on fucking doing notes.
I'm about to put the playlist on as I continue.
Where are you?
Throughout my day.
How concerned do I need to be?
What? No, I'm not going to tell you now. Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. It'll be done. I'm at least to the part about the wheel marks, the tire marks.
Great. Good. Early. Cool. Okay. I'm excited. Those of you listening tomorrow, get ready. Get ready. Okay.
They've already gone to their little secret meeting where they had to. Where they had to translate.
Okay. That's something. All right. Okay. That's something.
A little past that too.
Okay, so, okay. That's doable.
But I am listening. That is my that's the job.
Hey,
for the rest
listen,
of the
that's
day,
actually so. Okay because it's a lot of that stuff. You're gonna have to finish it no matter what. But you're learning stuff that's very important, especially in the beginning of the second book. So that's actually that word. No, at least that you're here. Okay. We're getting somewhere. So that's good. Can't wait. Oh my God, gonna blow everybody's mind. All right, we're backing out of the room.
Also, remember that we are now doing these in a visual format, which we will be releasing to Patreons first. And, you know, one of these days we'll put them up on YouTube. Yes. But, like, for right now,
this one,
if you want to see
it's coming out.
Macy's tattoos.
One tattoo.
And you want to see that green ring around my neck.
There it is.
You know where to go. Yeah. All right, bye.
Goodbye, everybody.